I'm going to read just one verse from Mark chapter 1 in a moment, and then we'll be looking at a number of different passages of Scripture this morning, and actually doing something a little different today, and you guys are going to help me out a little bit, okay? So you have to pay attention. Sometimes you're looking at me, and your face is just kind of like, and I wonder, what are they thinking about? And I try not to think about it too much, but I might call it. I'm not going to call on any individuals, okay? I promise. But I'm going to need your help. We're going to work together on it, okay? Let's go ahead and read from Mark chapter 1, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get into the message. Mark 1, verse 35. And rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Let's pray together. Father, as we come up on a new year, we're mindful of the fact that we desperately need your help. We in our humanity are so easily blown off course and distracted by the things of this life, and so easily discouraged by that weakness. And so, Father, we need your encouragement and the leading of your Spirit. We need the support of the body of Christ to pursue our relationship with you. And so I ask that you would help us this morning to take a concrete, real, actual, practical step to invest in our relationship with you, and to do that because we love you and because we want our love to grow for you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. On May 17th, 2014, Admiral William H. McRaven delivered a memorable commencement address to the graduates of the University of Texas at Austin. Now, as an Aggie fan, it's tough for me to admit, but it was a pretty good speech. 10 lessons learned from his time in basic SEAL training in San Diego. But it was the first lesson that he shared that would go viral on the internet. Some of you probably know about this. You may remember hearing it. If you want to change the world, start by making your bed. McRaven described how every day in SEAL training would start with making your bed. He said, if you make your bed every morning, you will have accomplished the first task of the day. I actually did make my bed this morning, unlike most days. It felt good. He says, it will give you a small sense of pride, and it will encourage you to do another task and another and another. By the end of the day, that one task completed will have turned into many tasks completed. Making your bed will also reinforce the fact that the little things in life matter. If you can't do the little things right, you will never do the big things right. It's a powerful illustration of a very important truth. Sometimes rote or seemingly mundane things in life can make a huge difference over the course of a day or a massive impact over the course of many years. And if that's true of making your bed, how much more is it the case when a follower of Jesus makes it a daily habit to invest in his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? We're just days away from the start of another year. By now, I imagine if you're like me, your belly is full, you have had a chance or two to sleep in, you've watched a couple of Christmas movies, maybe a football game or two. If you're a mom, you're probably just now starting to think about maybe you can get a little bit of rest. I don't know. But you've got just enough mental space where you're beginning to think about what the next year might look like. And I want to challenge you for a few moments this morning to consider embracing a habit that could make a much bigger difference in your life than making your bed. Here's the commitment that I'm asking you to make this morning. Devote the first moments of your day to reading, meditation, and prayer. Devote the first moments of your day to reading, meditation, and prayer. Men, I'm asking you, yes, you, to make this commitment. Women, I'm asking you to make this commitment. Young people, even if you're in elementary school, I'm asking you to consider making this commitment. And in order to help you, I want to answer four simple questions this morning. First of all, what am I asking you to do specifically? Secondly, why should you do it? Thirdly, why don't you do it? And then finally, how do you do it? So let's think about that first question. What am I asking you to do? In other words, what does it mean to devote the first moments of your day to reading, meditation, and prayer? Well, by reading, I mean, that's pretty easy to understand. Just open your Bible and read your Bible, and I'm asking you to commit to doing that every morning. Prayer, of course, is fairly easy for us to understand as well. It's not always easy to do. It's maybe not easy to explain. It's the sort of thing that we learn by doing over the course of many years. But to pray is simply to speak to God. It's to speak to Him and to ask Him for help, to confess our sins to Him, to praise Him for His wonderful character and nature, to thank Him for His blessings, to speak to God. Prayer is one of those things we just have to begin doing. But what does it mean to meditate? What is meditation? If you're like me, you hear that word meditate, you might think of a man wearing, you know, long flowing robes and sitting cross-legged and just sort of emptying his mind as he hums a mantra over and over again. Is that what we mean by meditating? When the Bible uses this word meditate, it's referring to something else. It's referring to the need to ponder or focus on or reflect upon the Word of God, to turn it over in your mind, to speak it to yourself. Some of you may have heard it said that to meditate means to mutter something to yourself over and over again, to chew on it. That's why I've titled the message today, Something to Chew On. Imagine a cow chewing its cud. You know, it's kind of a gross illustration, but it does help you understand what we're talking about. You've digested something, you've swallowed it, you've imbibed it, and you bring it back up again, and you chew on it, and you really understand what it is that you've read. You've read your Bible, you've swallowed it, but now you bring it back up, and you chew on it for a little while. That's meditate. Moses told Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." How do you make your way prosperous? How do you have good success? You got to meditate on the Scriptures. The psalmist tells us, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." So you read the law, that's just a word that means teaching. That was the Bible that they had in their hands at that time when those parts of Scripture were written. You read the law, you read the Bible, but then you've got to do something else. You've got to meditate on it. You've got to ponder, chew on it. What I'm challenging you to do today is to decide I'm going to commit the first few moments of my day to reading the Bible, meditating on what I've read, and then speaking to God about it in prayer. That's what I'm asking you to do. Okay, question number one, finished. Let's go on to question number two. Why should you do it? Why should you do it? Well, first of all, because Scripture clearly teaches that this should be our daily habit. We already considered Deuteronomy chapter 6. "These words I command you this day shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lay down, and when you rise." Understand that God's people during the time of Moses, when this passage was written, they didn't have physical copies of the Bible like you and I have that they could carry around in their pocket. They didn't have smartphones, believe it or not, with Bible apps. They had to memorize most of the Scriptures because there were only a few copies to be seen. And so in order to do that, they had to meditate on the Scriptures, and they had to talk about the Scriptures every day. And that's exactly what God calls them to do there in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We've read Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man who meditates on Scripture." Joshua, meditate day and night on the Scriptures. Consider the instruction Moses gives concerning the king in Deuteronomy 17. Now, listen, this is instruction for when years later Israel is going to select a person to lead them as their king. And God says in order for that person to be qualified to serve as king, he needs to meditate on Scripture. He says, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself in a book a copy of this law approved by the Levitical priests, and it shall be with him, and he shall read in it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God. Translation, that he may learn to have a relationship of respect and reverence and love and hating to displease the Lord his God. He has to understand the Scriptures. Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the entire Bible, constantly, repeatedly extols the value of reading and internalizing the Word of God. Psalm 119:11, I've stored up your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, verses 15 and 16, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your Word. Verse 24, your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. You ever face something in life where you need advice? Do you turn to Scripture and find counsel and wisdom from the Lord? Verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Think of all the great heroes of the faith. They were all men and women who devoted their strength, their energy, their time to their relationship with the Lord. Job chapter 1, we get up early in the morning and worship the Lord and pray on behalf of his children every single morning. Ezra was a successful leader because according to Ezra 7:10, he devoted himself to the Word of God. Daniel, we know Daniel chapter 6, three times a day, every single day, when even at great personal risk to his safety, Daniel would kneel in prayer and spend time investing in his relationship with the Lord. Jesus himself had a habit of spending time with his heavenly Father. We've already read Mark 1:35. Rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Luke 5:16 makes clear that this wasn't just a one-time thing. Even at the busiest time in his ministry, Jesus had a regular habit of separating himself from other people and getting before his heavenly Father and spending time with him. To devote the first moments of our day to reading, meditation, and prayer isn't just the practice of the godly in Bible times, but throughout church history. Consider George Mueller, the great prayer warrior and champion of the fatherless, who created a home for so many destitute orphans when no one was doing that sort of thing. Mueller's habit was to wake up very early in the morning and spend an hour or more reading the Bible before he spent time in prayer. He said, it is of immense importance for the understanding of the Word of God to read it in course, so that we may read every day a portion of the Old and a portion of the New Testament, going on where we previously left off. It is also of greatest importance to meditate on what we read. John Newton, the author of that great hymn, Amazing Grace, a man who God had converted from slave trader to gospel preacher, had this to say about spending time with God. He says, I know not a better rule of reading the Scripture than to read it through from beginning to end, and when we have finished it once, to begin it again. Happy should I be, could I fully follow the advice I am now offering to you. I wish you may profit by my experience. Alas, how much time have I lost and wasted, which had I been wise, I should have devoted to reading and studying the Bible. Charles Spurgeon, the great 19th century preacher, a man whose productivity boggles the mind. He was well known to get up very, very early in the morning and get started on his workday. He was able to complete so many tasks and projects throughout the day. But he says this, thriving tradesmen are early risers, and thriving saints seek Jesus eagerly. Those who find Jesus to their enrichment give their hearts to seeking him. We must seek him first, and thus earliest. Above all things, Jesus first, and nothing else, even as a bad second. Folks, show me a man of God, a man whose private life matches his public persona. A man who has borne fruit for the kingdom over the course of a long career. And I'll show you a man who has made it his aim to devote the first moments of his day to reading the Bible, meditating on what he's read, and praying to his heavenly Father. Imagine the difference that it would make in your life. Imagine if you began to do this. If you took the first 30 minutes of your day and spent that first few moments with Jesus. Imagine your kids, those of you who are parents, growing up and knowing that every day, month after month, year after year, dad or mom starts their day with the Lord. Imagine them asking you a question about their faith and you actually have an answer, and the answer comes from the Bible because you've been spending time reading and meditating and praying. Imagine dealing with a huge relational conflict in your marriage, or a difficulty at work, or a misunderstanding with a relative, and being able to say, wait a second, I just read something in God's word that speaks directly to this issue, and I know what to do because I've been spending time with the Lord. More than any of that, though, there's nothing like spending time with the most wonderful, wise, mighty, merciful person in existence. You will know him. You will know and understand his ways. You'll enjoy a deeper level of personal relationship with the person who made you, with your heavenly Father, with the one who tells you who you are. I just wonder sometimes if we've forgotten what a gift the Bible is. You know, I have at least a dozen Bibles between my house and my office. Some of you have three or four Bibles in your possession. If you want, you can go to the dollar store and buy a Bible, I think, for a dollar. You can download an app and get the Bible in any language, in any version, and it takes about 30 seconds to download it on your phone. And I wonder if we've gotten to the point, haven't we, where we maybe take this book for granted. Folks, this is the Word of the living God. Everything about who God is, all of his perfections, his holiness, his justice, his mercy, his kindness, his loyal love is infused in the pages of this book. It is a tremendous gift. And yet how often does it gather dust? And instead of reaching for this, we reach for the phone, or we reach for the TV remote, or we reach for something else. And I just want you to imagine you come to the end of your life and your family and friends, whoever's still around, gather together to shed a few tears and remember you with gratitude. And the first thing someone says is, she knew the Lord. He knew the Lord. He had a relationship with God. Imagine coming to the end of your life and the people who love you gather around, and that's the first thing they say about you. That can be true of you, friend. Don't you want that? Don't you want to come to the end of your life and have given your energy and your time and your effort to knowing God? Isn't that better than just languishing year after year? Isn't that better than making excuses or moping around or looking at all these other Christians in the room and saying, well, why does he grow in his spiritual life and I'm languishing every year? No, we can make 2026 a different sort of year. And we can grow in our relationship with God. Say, well, I haven't succeeded so far. Why would this year be any different? Well, let's talk about question number three. Why don't you do it? We've talked about what am I asking you to do? We've talked about why should you do it? Well, why don't we do it? Let me just open that up. For those of you, and I know you're not speaking for yourself, but maybe you have a friend who might offer this particular reason why he or she wants to read the Bible, but maybe does not succeed in reaching that goal. And I'm going to write some of these answers up on the board here. Why don't you do it? Or why would a person want to read and meditate and pray and then not actually do it? Laziness? Okay. Okay, why else? Okay, lack of intentionality. I'm trying to make them alliterated. All right, hang on. I have to spell these words correctly. Somebody said idols. Okay. Okay, busy. Sorry. Okay. Misplaced priorities. Whoops. All right. Anybody else?
Procrastination.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, just the technical difficulty, right, of reading. The Bible is not always an easy book to read. Sometimes you read it and you're like, what did I just read, right? Anybody else?
Apathy,
okay. All right, anybody else? I think I had prepared a few different reasons, and I think a lot of what we've said kind of covers some of those things. By the way, this one, just the technical difficulty Rhonda mentioned, it's difficult to read the Bible sometimes. Some people have a hard time reading the Bible because of a learning disability. And I learned this past summer that two different Bible publishers, Crossway Publishers and Lifeway Publishers, actually publish a printed version of the Bible that is for the benefit of people with dyslexia. And there's a certain kind of font they use, there's a font size that they use, and they actually have like color-coded filters that you put over the page that make it a little easier to read. So if that's something that you struggle with or suffer from, then we can get you a Bible that will help you with that for sure. Okay, but there are all sorts of reasons why we set out to do this and we fail. And sometimes those are just, you know, character issues. Sometimes we're really trying and we have a hard time. So it seems to me that there are several other reasons, and they're similar to the ones that you all listed. Maybe, first of all, maybe you're not a Christian. I have to say, one of the main reasons you may not be doing this is because you're not a Christian. A Christian is someone who has a changed attitude, a changed affection for the things of God. A Christian has a new heart given to them by the Holy Spirit. He still fights against temptation. He still stumbles, but he's a new person. So if that's not you, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, then it's no wonder that you would have a hard time wanting to read the Bible, because this is the truth of the living God. And you're not going to have a desire internally to read the Bible. And I just want to say, first of all, I'm impressed that you're here on the Sunday after Christmas. If you're here and you're not a Christian, I'm glad that you're here. But I also want to say, you need Jesus Christ. You need to believe in the Lord. You need to believe he died for your sin and that he rose again so that you might have new life. And the Bible promises that whoever is in Christ, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. And you'll begin to see the Holy Spirit change your desires and your affections, not all at once, but gradually over time, so that you will have a love for the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. So maybe you have a hard time reading the Bible because, frankly, you're not a Christian. Maybe you are a Christian, though, and you're simply entangled in sin and running from the conviction of the Holy Spirit. If this is you, if you're running away from the conviction of the Holy Spirit, then you know what you need to do. And for those of you who are doing this, you kind of know what I'm talking about. Immediately something comes to mind that the Holy Spirit has been working on you over and over and over again, lovingly reminding you, you cannot have this in your life and be a follower of Jesus. And over again, you've hardened yourself against that conviction. Well, no wonder you don't want to read the Bible. No wonder you don't want to meditate on Scripture. No wonder you don't want to cast your cares on the Lord and pray, because you're running away like the prophet Jonah. from a God who loves you and wants you to change. You can't indulge in a daily pornography habit and have a good prayer life. Those things just don't go together. No wonder you're anxious, because you're not bringing your cares to the Lord, and you're living in contradiction to the Spirit's leading in your life. You can't be a drunkard who's lying about your alcohol abuse and trying to hide it from everybody and then turn around and be transparent before the Lord. It's not going to work. You can't be sleeping with someone who's not your spouse and then turn around and pretend like your relationship with God is hunky-dory. Listen, stop doing what you're doing. Stop sinning. Listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the clear teaching of the Word of God, and repent and change and lay it all out before the Lord and understand He forgives and He longs for you to walk in holiness, and He wants to have a relationship with you. Maybe you're a Christian who, it's not that you're convicted by the Holy Spirit about some sin in your life. Maybe you're simply distracted by the things of this life. You're tangled up in the things of the present. And I have to say, this is a guess, and I think it's a pretty good guess. If this is you, get out your phone and open up the Screen Time app and see how much time you've been spending on your phone. Maybe that's the culprit. It could be as simple as getting rid of that phone in those moments when you wake up and you need to spend time with the Lord. I bet if you detoxed from your phone for the next 2 weeks, your focus would return and you'd be able to make some progress. Maybe you're a Christian who's discontented with God's provision. That is, you are so anxious about having enough money to pay your bills that you are not able to trust the Lord to provide for you. And so when you sit down and you open up the Bible, you cannot concentrate because you feel like, I've got to get up and I've got to get working because I've got to make sure everything happens for my family. And you've got to just remember, hang on, God is going to take care of me. He's going to take care of my family. I am human. God is God. I am not God. And I've got to lay aside that project, that task list for just a few moments and remember, I belong to a loving Heavenly Father. Unless the Lord builds the house, He labors in vain who builds it. Work hard, but don't be like Martha, who valued productivity so much that she was willing to trade her relationship with Jesus just to get things done. Folks, we don't have to keep failing or making excuses or running away. We maybe choose to do that, but we don't have to do that. There is a way out. And so without any further ado, I want to turn our attention to our fourth question. How should you do it? We've talked about why you don't do it. How should you do it? Now close your eyes and imagine that you're doing this. Go ahead, right now. Where are you? Maybe at your dining room table. Maybe you're sitting on your porch or in your living room. What's there with you? You have your Bible. You maybe have a cup of coffee. Maybe it's a Diet Coke, whatever you start your day with. You have a pen and a journal. Think about what will it take to get you to that spot every morning for 20 or 30 minutes a day. Okay, you can open your eyes, okay? What will it take to get you to that place? What's helped you? And I guess I'll use this upper section here. What has helped you to get to that point where you're able to devote the first few moments of your day to reading, meditation, and prayer? Get up early. Good. For some of you, this is like extremely early, but yeah, you've got to be up 30 minutes. It's just simple math, right? Okay. Good. All right. Somebody had their hand raised back here. Yes, sir. Okay. How have you implemented that in your life specifically? Anything specific? Just got to do it. Okay. Discipline. Love it. You know, I appreciate that comment, Neil, because often I think maybe you're like me and you felt like my relationship with the Lord should feel natural. and it should feel easy. That's just not always true, folks. We have to work on our relationship with the Lord, because we're fighting against a spiritual enemy who wants to pull us away from our relationship with God, and our old man, the flesh, wants to pull us away from our relationship with God. Expect that you're going to have to fight a little bit. It's okay to say, I need discipline. Somebody else, what's helped you?
Silence.
I'm sorry?
Silence.
Wow, that's good. Okay. Somebody else. Johnny, what'd you have?
Meal prep
the day before. That's good. That is huge. Okay. So TV, and I'm just going to put phone, and I'm going to draw a line through them, okay? Can I do that? Is that all right? If you turn on that TV, or if you have your phone on, most of you are not going to make it, okay? Yes, Sophia? Okay, gratitude, that's good. Having a gratitude attitude. All right, there's got to be other stuff. What's helped you? Yes, sir?
Realization that time spent with the Lord pays dividends.
Okay. Just having that recognition that time spent with God is going to pay dividends. And that is so true. Okay, last call. Anybody else? You have one, but you're not one to say it. Just say it for Mia. Oh, you don't know what it was? Okay, well, that's fine. Somebody over here. Yes, sir. Or ma'am. Pray first thing. Okay. All right, start with prayer. And then last one over here. Okay. Okay, good. I love that. Designated place. All right, my board is filled up, so I think we'll stop there. And I do have a few things listed in my own notes. Listen, everybody's different, and it's just one of those things we have to kind of learn by trial and error. But I've listed a few things that I believe will help you. Number one, find a buddy. Find a buddy. Preferably, this is a Christian that you see face-to-face on a regular basis who is a member of the same gender, that you can just say, hey, listen, this is what I'm planning to do in 2026, and I want to walk through this with somebody. Maybe set aside a time each week to text each other or meet for coffee so you can discuss what you're reading. I used to meet somebody on Thursday afternoons at Dunkin' Donuts. We were the only people there at Dunkin' Donuts on a Thursday afternoon. And we would read the Bible together and we would hold each other accountable. It wasn't a chore. It was a lot of fun. And it helped us to stay on track. Number two, decide on a time and place in advance and be specific. Where are you going to be when you spend time with Jesus? Are you going to be at the dining room table? Are you going to be in your easy chair? I can't do my easy chair because I'm going to fall asleep in that thing. I've got to be at the dining room table. Maybe you're going to be in your car or your truck. When exactly are you going to make the time for this? Where are you going to get that time from? Listen, if you're here and you're not currently spending 20 or 30 minutes in the morning reading, meditating, and praying, then you're going to have to add 20 or 30 minutes to your schedule, and that time has to come from somewhere. Most of the time, this is one of the reasons why we drop the ball on a habit like this, because we assume that we can just add it into our life without taking away from somewhere else. And so where we usually take it from is from our sleep. And probably you're not getting enough sleep anyway, right? Am I right or wrong? And so we take it from our sleep, and now we're not getting enough sleep. Listen, you're going to have to go to bed early in order to get this done, probably, so that you can wake up on time. Go to bed 30 minutes earlier. Maybe transfer some of your morning habits to the prior evening. Pack your lunch, just like Johnny said, doing the meal prep. Lay out your clothes. Take out the trash. Complete the dishes the night before so that you have that time and focus when you wake up and get out of bed. Number three, remove distractions. James Clear, in his excellent best-selling book, Atomic Habits, which I recommend wholeheartedly, makes a simple recommendation. He says, when you're trying to start a new habit, you have to make it easy. Make it so that you don't even have to think about the details. So many times we fail because our phone is there, because we can't find our Bible, or because we sit down and we open our Bible, but we haven't decided what we're going to read. We don't know what time it is because we can't see a clock, and so we feel nervous and anxious about being late for work. Because we're cold. You know, it's cold sometimes in the morning, not the last few days. But I'm distracted because I'm cold. I just want to stay in bed. And what we have to do is decide in advance, I'm going to take care of all those details. I'm going to think through all those things before I get to that moment and make it easy. How are you going to make it easy to avoid looking at your phone? Maybe you keep it in another room, or you place it in your glove compartment and close the glove compartment when you're in your car. Maybe your Bible's already sitting there on the table, or it's there in the truck. Maybe your coffee is made the night before. You have a clock or a kitchen appliance that you can see when you sit down, so you know what time it is and you're not worried and anxious about being late. You kind of have to trick yourself. Instead of saying every day I'm going to meditate and read, you have to say, listen, every morning at 5 a.m. I'm going to sit at the dining room table with my Bible and a coffee. And then I'm going to open the Bible. And once that Bible's open, you might as well read some of it, right? But make it simple. Make it easy. Once you get to that spot, you've won, and the rest is easy, even if you've only spent 1 minute there. Number four, have a plan. Have a plan. The last several years, all I've had is a bookmark. I put a bookmark in the Old Testament, a bookmark in the New Testament, and a bookmark in the Psalms. And maybe that's enough for you. But maybe you would like a plan. Maybe you want to be able to check some boxes. For some of you, checking boxes and seeing a little chart is stressful. But for others, a Bible reading plan would be helpful. If you're not sure where to start, let me make some recommendations. We're going to get real specific here. Right here on the next to the speaker is a stack of Bible reading plans called 5x5x5. Now, this is a New Testament reading plan. You will read the New Testament in a year. So if you've never read through the Bible on your own, you've not started this habit at all, this is a great place to start, because it's very, very easy to, if you're consistent, to read through the New Testament in the course of 365 days. You may start this plan and feel like, man, I want more. But this is a great place to start, and I've got a stack of these right up here. Or if you'd like to read through the Bible once in the year 2026, here is a Bible reading plan that will take you through the entire Bible once over the course of a year. And there's a whole stack of them right here, and you can grab those at the end of the service. Have a plan. First 15 is an app that you can download on your phone if you feel like, you know what, I need somebody to hold my hand. There's an app called First 15. Pastor Guy has recommended this to me and to others many times. It's put out by Denison Ministries. It's got a devotional and an accompanying scripture reading. Maybe you're saying, hey, listen, I do read my Bible, but I want to meditate on scripture more. There's an app called Fighter Verses that's put out by Desiring God. And literally, it's just a way to help you memorize scripture and meditate on scripture without having to put a plan together yourself. It puts the plan together for you, and it makes it extremely easy to do. You have to have a plan. When you sit down, what are you going to read, and what are you going to meditate on? And then number five, be brave. Be brave. Here's what I mean by that. You say, be brave. What are you? This isn't like, you know, going and fighting a battle. Listen, yes, it is. Because oftentimes the reason why you don't do it is because you're afraid. Right? You're afraid that you're going to fail. Folks, listen. A righteous man falls seven times and rises yet again. Who cares if you fail? You're going to fail. It's okay. Have some courage. Be brave. Don't worry about failing. Don't be afraid of what everybody else thinks. Some other person wants to do this Bible reading plan and you're doing a different one. Okay, it's fine. Don't be afraid of the opinions of others. Be brave. Don't compare yourself with others. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 12 and following. When they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. Folks, be brave. Be willing to do something that you don't feel like you're good at doing. And you will be surprised just how much of a benefit it is to your life. Walking with Jesus isn't about being perfect. It is about his perfections. Walking with Jesus isn't about keeping up with everybody else. It's about keeping your eyes on him. And so, folks, I want to challenge you again. Make this commitment. Devote the first few moments of your day to reading, to meditation, and to prayer. And in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to make that commitment, and I think it would be encouraging if we did that publicly, okay? So what I'm going to do, I'll tell you what I'm doing this year. Like I said, in years past, I've just used a bookmark. I've used these little cloth bookmarks in my Bible. This year, I'm doing something a little different. I'm following a Bible reading plan that follows the order of the Hebrew Bible, the Hebrew canon. And I have some accompanying devotional readings on the side, and that's something I'm doing a little bit different this year. And that's the commitment that I'm making to do. I'm sure I'm going to drop the ball here and there. But that's what I'm committing to do. And I'm going to ask you to make that commitment as well and to do it publicly so that we can encourage one another in this. And so in a moment, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you, if you're making that commitment, to just join me here in the front. And by the way, when you come up here, that's a perfect time to grab one of these plans, the New Testament plan or the whole Bible reading plan, and to make that commitment publicly together, okay? So I'm going to pray, and then I want to invite you to come, and let's make this commitment together so that we can encourage each other to spend time with the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you so much for revealing yourself to us and for inviting us to spend time with you, Lord. Thank you for the example of these men and women of faith that we have known and loved over the years. People that we see written about in Scripture, people of faith. Thank you for the encouragement of the body of Christ that we can strengthen and encourage each other to do something that will make a difference in our personal lives and in our family's relationship with you. Lord, I pray that you would enable us and empower us to do this, to devote our first moments to spending time with you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.